So, Coach Ron Wickham, I followed your career.
Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, thanks for being on here, man. This is awesome.
This is great. This is great.
I've followed your career since you were at East Rochester. Yeah. You played quarterback. Who was your coach there?
Dennis Greco was our head coach. Yep. Yeah. And then Brian Tarangio, who's now the head football coach. He was an assistant coach who was, you know, heavily involved the entire time as well. So yeah. So I had some great coaches while I was there. I was lucky.
You're a hometown hero to all of us. You know what I mean? And we followed your career all the way to Maine. And you know what? Let's get right into it. How'd you get recruited to go to Maine?
It almost applies to, you know, some of the advice that I give to any recruit that I'm talking to today or a kid that I'm advising. I was like a lot of kids in upstate New York. I was a good athlete, but I wasn't a specifically skilled athlete, meaning, you know, I was a football player. I was a basketball player. You know, I was doing a bunch of different things growing up, baseball player. I was a good athlete, but, you know, I was under-recruited. Not a lot of people knew about me coming out of my junior year. And my parents sent me to a camp where a bunch of colleges were going to be at.
Yep.
And coach noticed me at the University of Maine. And the University of Maine probably recruits Rochester and Buffalo probably better than any division one school. And I don't even think that's a question. I think the University of Maine has probably produced more NFL and all conference prospects out of New York State than any school.
Yeah.
And the very last weekend before signing day, I had nothing. I had Ivy League opportunities to go to Colgate and Fordham, and no disrespect to those opportunities. Those were phenomenal opportunities, but I had no full scholarship opportunities.
Yeah.
And the last weekend, talk about taking a hit to your ego. I got invited on an official visit, which I was very glad to go on, up to Maine. They brought in four quarterbacks, and they ended up deciding on me, and I ended up signing with the University of Maine, and it ended up being a really good opportunity.
That's amazing. Yeah. Who's the coach that found you first from Maine?
The guy that I ended up working for 13 years at Old Dominion, Bobby Wilder, was the offensive coordinator and quarterback coach. A name that some people who are listening right now, Jeff Cole, who is a Rochester native, you know, people can do the research on the specifics, but Jeff Cole was from Rochester and was the running backs coach, and he was recruiting this Rochester area hard and gotten a lot of good players. Unfortunately, he died of cancer at 30 years old while I was a sophomore in Maine.
Oh my God, he was 30.
30 years old, married. Even today, if you look at the Maine helmet, they have an arrow. This is gotta be like 13, 14, 15 years later, there's an arrow on the University of Maine helmet. It's for Jeff Cole.
No kidding.
So the University of Maine has a direct, you know, connection to Rochester kind of on their helmet.
Yeah.
So it that's cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
You know, we get Maine coaches still here to this day that just love recruiting this area. And, you know, it's a great thing.
It's Rochester, Buffalo, blue collar people.
Yep.
You go to the University of Maine, you know, I tell kids all the time, it's going to change you as a person.
Yeah.
Probably like going to a military academy, for lack of a better word, just because of, you know, the mental toughness that you're going to have going to the University of Maine. I mean, it's 10 hours away. It's, you know, it's in a different location.
What was it like for you? I mean,
I went, and, you know, my father was a Division One wrestler at East Carolina. He played at East Rochester. Played for Don Quinn, which is a name that a lot of people in the Rochester area are gonna, you know, recognize. Sure. My mother's an Urzetta, so you know, I grew up with athletics, you know, in my blood. So I wasn't a weak-minded individual, but going to the University of Maine,
long way away.
You know, you're a kid from New York, and you're up with, you know, you don't know anybody.
Yep.
You know, and you're up there as a freshman, and you know, you have to make your own way, and you know, you might have been an all-star at East Rochester, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, I don't know if I belong here right now. But then, you know, you work and the coaches guide you, and you know, kudos to the coaches at Maine. They develop players up there. They always have.
Yeah. What kind of offense you guys run up there?
Well, I coached at Old Dominion the past 13 years. When I was at Maine as a quarterback, we started off as a pro style system, and then I think a lot of schools during that like early 2000s kind of like started evolving to the spread, the zone read option. Chip Kelly was actually coaching at UNH, New Hampshire, while I was at Maine.
No kidding.
So there, the kind of like the spread was kind of like happening while I was in college.
Yeah.
I'm an old guy. So.
So, I mean, really, were you able to experience sort of both ends of it? Like, I mean, NFL quarterback now is sort of between both worlds. Did you run a little bit of spread and
I was under center, exclusively under center, like only three guys going out in a route my first 2 years. And then my last 2 years, it was like, okay, we're doing the zone read option. And it's not like it is now. Like there were no the idea of an RPO was foreign back then.
Yeah.
The things that we were doing in the zone read option in the early 2000s was, I look back as now that I've been coaching for over a decade, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe what we're doing. But it was new, you know.
Yeah,
it was different. And yeah, you know, when I was coming out of high school, you didn't recruit a quarterback on, you know, a Division I quarterback wasn't under 6'4".
Yeah.
So for me being 6'2", that's what made me FCS or 1AA.
Yeah.
You know, now, you know, 5'10", 5'11", you're like, yeah, sure. You know,
if you Kyle can play, Murray, you can play.
If you can play, you know, Baker Mayfield, you know,
yeah.
Russell Wilson, you know, that's not a stigma as much as it was back when I was coming out. So it's cool.
You're a coach's son. I'm a coach's son.
Yeah.
So I can very much relate to that household, what it was like. Do you have any siblings you grew up with that pushed you?
Yeah. And, you know, my sister, you know, was probably a better athlete than me. She ended up playing Division I lacrosse at Hofstra. And she's still teaching at Victor. And so, yeah, you know, kind of a family of athletics. And
that's cool.
Yeah, it was kind of a competitive household. You know, my sister was, you know, won state championships in multiple sports, was all state. So, you know, she did her thing too.
That's a great family to grow up in. That's awesome.
It was fun.
You know, things that some of our viewers and listeners don't know is that East Rochester is actually a smaller school. And so that's another thing you had going against you. And I think a lot of the schools across the state, you know, myself included, I grew up in an even smaller school than East Rochester. At least back then, it was Class D.
Oh, what was school that was?
Red
that?
Jacket.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, no doubt.
So, you know, and last year, you know, Nate Carter coming out of Bishop Kearney, Class D. Liam Matthews coming out of Sydney, Class D. Two small school guys, one going to Cornell, one going to UConn. One of the things about this is give everybody a fair shake at being evaluated. Whatever the size school they are, but give them a fair shot. And you got you were able to make it out. And get to Maine. And
when you're one of those student athletes that is at a smaller school, guys like yourself and what you do for kids in this area that are in those situations is huge, because you can't say, woe is me. You got to go and use the tools to get the exposure to let the college recruiters know that I'm out there.
Yeah.
And that's where I feel like at Old Dominion, every single kid that I recruited from Rochester to Old Dominion started at Old Dominion.
Yeah.
Now think of that, those percentages.
That's
usually
impressive.
Yeah, usually don't say that. And the reason why I think that was occurring at Old Dominion with kids from Section 5 was, one, I knew guys were under recruited up in Rochester.
Sure.
You know, this isn't Atlanta. This isn't Dallas. You know, schools just aren't coming through Rochester.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
So I knew they were under recruited, so I could kind of get a better athlete for the money.
Yep.
You know, I knew kids coming out of Rochester are kind of blue collar.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the upside with kids from Rochester, they weren't tapped out, because you know, you're only playing seven regular season games here. You don't have fully padded spring ball.
That's a great point.
So you have so much, you know, more football to go. Maybe your football IQ might not be as high,
yep,
but in my opinion, it's almost like in some instances, it can be a better thing, because you're like, hey, this kid's kind of raw right now. Like I took a wide receiver probably 8-9 years ago out of Bishop Kearney, Blair Roberts, who was a great player for us, top 10 receiver all time. And mm-hmm. He was a big basketball player, like long receiver, but he was an all day, you know, Division I FBS receiver.
So and probably nobody knew about him.
No, and I was looking through the best 30 players in the past decade from DNC.
Yep.
And you know, I offered 20 of the 30. We took more than any other Division I school.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, even guys like Billy Lombardi and Jared Rubino and like Fardon Allen, like from Rush, like those names, I was like, oh my God, like I like that kid coming out of high school. Like I couldn't get it where we could offer him.
Sure.
But you know, Micah Wrights, you know, those kids that were, the Ernest Edwards still tears me up out of Aquinas. You know, like we offered him, but it never ended up working out. You know, those were really good football
players. Very good players.
Very good players that I remember having a relationship, recruiting, talking to their coaches about. And I remember going back to Old Dominion and, you know, going to our head coach who did a great job recruiting Section 5 and just being like, hey, you know, these kids can play at this level. They just need an opportunity, you know.
You know, having you here doing that, you know, recruiting our area just shows that you have a lot of pride from where you came from, and you quietly went about your business recruiting this area. you know, you've got two of those guys that you named that are trying to fight for a roster spot in the NFL. You got Edwards and you've got Gerbino. Talk about them. Do you think they have a shot in making a roster this year?
You know, when you're making that transition from college to the NFL, it's not necessarily about what you've done in college.
Yeah.
So that's the unique thing. I'll talk about him a little bit later, but a guy named Jeremy Kelly, who's he played at West Seneca, mm-hmm. in Buffalo. He played at the University of Maine, so an upstate New York kid.
Yep.
Had a minimal career. He ended up signing more professional contracts in the NFL and CFL than he had receptions at the University of Maine.
No kidding.
He ended up playing for the Colts, the Bears, the Broncos, but because of his size, he was more engineered to play at the NFL level.
Yep.
So sometimes, you know, you have, you know, Tim Tebow, greatest quarterback in college of all time.
Sure.
Doesn't necessarily work out at the NFL sometimes. You know what I mean? And so you never know. But I think the same attributes that made a guy like Ernest Edwards successful at Aquinas in Maine, probably going to translate to the next level. You know, if he's a tough-minded individual and, you know, works hard and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he and Micah are pretty similar prospects coming out of Maine. I mean, I'm curious which one. I mean, Micah, you know, was on the Saints for a little bit.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, we're all rooting for those guys. You know,
no question.
We hope they
get the
shot they deserve. And, you know, so you started to get to the conclusion of your career. How many years did you start at Maine?
I started every single game of my career.
That's what I thought.
So, yeah. And I ended up leaving the all time leading passer, which, you know, when I work with quarterbacks, I think that's important to say to a quarterback, because being a quarterback's coach at the Division I level for 13 years, and I've worked with over 5,000 quarterbacks because of all the huge camps that I ran at Old Dominion and all the QB training I did.
Yep.
So when you're talking to a quarterback and you might be coaching him on something, when he can look at you and be like, all right, I've stood back there. I've played Boston College and at Nebraska and at Mississippi State, and I've played Division I football, and I've taken that hit in the pocket. There's some
hold some weight.
Yeah, and you can kind of be like, or when they make a mistake in a game or in a drill, you're like, listen, I went through the same thing that you went through.
Yeah.
But this is how you work through it.
Yeah.
So you can relate to them and let them know that you've done it, and you know, you've had struggles, and you know, man, I went through a 3-month period where I couldn't throw a dig to the right for whatever reason. And, you know, here's how I got through it. You see, I think that helps me when I'm working with, especially quarterbacks.
Jay Fiedler was on here a couple of weeks ago, former quarterback for the Dolphins, the Jets. You know, had a great career, but his route through to the NFL was through Dartmouth, and he took over for a quarterback that helped them win a championship. And he's behind him, and he had to compete for that spot. Let's talk about how you had to compete to win the position at Maine, because that's something that, you know, I think people think, well, I was recruited. I was, you know, someone recruited me, they brought me on, and so I'm going to start. But obviously it's not the case. So what is it? What was your mindset going into every rep, you know, your off season, how you won the job?
You know, I'm wired a little bit different when I got to the University of Maine, and for young people that are getting recruited at any level of the Division I level, guess what? You go to Albany, University of Maine, University of Buffalo, Old Dominion, South Carolina, they're all good football players at those Division I schools. It doesn't matter where you go at the Division I level. Once you get there, you're going to be like, poof, there's some good players here. And, you know, more than likely, you're going to get listed at the bottom of the depth chart. You know, I was fifth on out of 5 quarterbacks. Wow. And, you know, when I got to the University of Maine, I kind of was, you know, sitting in my 1970s dorm room, kind of looking at the ceiling, and I kind of made a decision like, listen, I'm not here to, you know, drink or party or really, you know, to make a ton of friends. I'm here to play Division I football. And I was kind of like, you know, I kind of had that look in my eyes like, all right, you know, every single drill, I'm going to try to win. Every single spring ball rep, I'm going to try to be the most accurate, have the highest completion percentage.
Yeah.
And I just won the job. You know, I won, I redshirted. We had a, you know, 4-year starter that played my redshirt freshman year. But then when that spring ball came and it was kind of an open competition, I didn't have anything else on my mind other than going to class and winning that quarterback job. Everything else to me was just completely unimportant. And I think that's, you know, that's what, you know, separates people at times, you know, with all the things that are coming out about Kobe and just, you know, him kind of, you know, people kind of revisiting his personal philosophy and process. You know, I think more and more of that's coming out, but you know, you got so many options nowadays with the phone and, you know, you know, you get on a college campus and you can be a diverse student athlete. And I think that's important. But at the same time, you got to have priorities.
Yeah.
And, you know, to me, it was academics and football.
Yeah.
And that's what I want. I wanted to be a starting Division I quarterback, because at the end of the day, there are a lot of people in America. Very few can say that I was a starting Division I quarterback.
especially for every game you play.
To play to start every single game of your career and all that. Yeah, not many people can say that. But just to say, I was a start. A lot of people sign letters of intent. A lot of people go to Division I colleges.
Great.
But
point.
To say, you can slice down the percentages even more, and you know, part of that is just, you know, sacrifice.
Yeah.
You have to make sacrifices.
But you made a conscious decision. You're coming out of East Rochester. You're coming out of a small school. You'd go 10 hours away from home. You made a conscious decision that said, I am going to do this. I'm going to separate from some things that could distract me.
Yep.
I'm going to surround myself with people that are going to help me compete for this job, whoever it's going to be within the team. And you had that focus. And so it wasn't about being recruited to you. For you, it was about winning an opportunity to get on the field to compete for a job.
No question. And I almost feel bad for the kid that I wasn't highly recruited.
Yeah.
So I kind of had that chip. I almost feel at times, and I've been on the other side of it as a college recruiter. You know, even at our level, Old Dominion, being a mid-major school, especially as we had more and more and more success, we were recruiting kids that had higher recruiting profiles. And I kind of felt bad at times for the kid that was like highly recruited.
Sure.
Because then coming into our program, you know, he kind of, you know, he had his chest out and he deserved it. He was a good player. You know, I get it. You know, I'm happy for you. Everybody likes to get loved up, and I'm with it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, why is Tom Brady the way he is? Yeah, why is why is Drew Brees the way he is?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Those guys, somebody told, you know, Michael Jordan, somebody told those individuals no. And now, you know, Baker Mayfield, the way he played at Oklahoma, and, you know, somebody said, you're not good enough. And now you're like, you're locked in.
Yeah.
And that's how I was at Maine. And, you know, that's kind of how I've always been, just in general. Just I think when you have that in you, it's just a part of you. And
yeah. It shows, man. It not only does it show, you know, hearing about your playing career, but it actually shows in the way, you know, you coach quarterbacks. So, you know, for years you're posting, you know, little clips of how you coach at Old Dominion and some of the private coaching that you do. And, you know, most people, I've interacted with Coach Kinder and different, and Coach Fiedler and different guys that are working with quarterbacks, but you were one of the first that I was able to see online that actually posted videos of really good content, because I'm using some of those drills from years ago.
Yeah.
But that same mindset goes into how you coach, and it's clear as day that you're not just doing this for for any other reason, but to try to win, you know, to try to help that kid, whoever it is, improve their game. And I see how you support, you know, athletes that you coach that went into the NFL, that played for the Vikings. And I mean, I watch all that stuff. It's cool because you can tell it can tell that you care enough about the game that you still have that competitive juice, even though and you're applying it in a different world. How'd you get into the coaching game to begin with? You get done with Maine, and
I got done with the last game of my career. I had a good senior year personally. We had a good we were a good team my senior year. We had a phenomenal defense. Our defensive coordinator at Maine is now the new defensive coordinator at Rutgers, Rob Smith.
No kidding.
Yep, and he recruits upstate New York. I expect that Rutgers staff to start recruiting upstate New
That's
York.
That's great.
Again. I know, you know, they recruited Quentin Gauze from back then, and we had a phenomenal defense. We were just okay on offense. We were young at wideout, and you know, at the time there was no XFL, but the arena football was a legitimate option for, you know, smaller school quarterbacks. And I was kind of looking into that. It was, you know, a six-figure job at the time, and Coach Wilder, got the job to start the program at Old Dominion. And because I was a four-year starter for him, he just offered me the quarterback coaching job at, you know, 22, 23 years old. And
that's a great gig, man.
I drove my car, you know, from Maine to Rochester, you know, got some Italian from my mom and went right down to Virginia Beach. And, you know, I was there for 13 straight years after that. And it was an awesome ride.
That's a great ride.
It was really fun. Yeah.
I mean, so talk about some of the kids that you coached. I mean, I know you had a guy play for the Vikings, and, before he got hurt, he got hurt.
Yeah, he got Taylor Heinicke, you know, kind of going through my quarterbacks. You know, we started the program in 2007.
Yep.
There were no players. There were no buildings, nothing. It was just kind of like you and I are sitting in an office. There were four coaches in one office. That's it.
Oh, my God.
Built the facility. We recruited our first class in 2007. In 2008, we just redshirted and practiced an entire team.
No kidding.
So then in 2009, we played our first year. So 2009 to 2019. And, you know, we had all conference quarterbacks at Old Dominion in 2010, 12, 14, 16, 18. which, you know, I'm real proud of that. And, you know, the first four quarterbacks all played professionally. And, you know, Taylor Heinicke ended up playing for the Minnesota Vikings and the Carolina. He started last year for the Carolina Panthers, and he's on the XFL team right now in St. Louis. So yeah, we had a lot of success at quarterback, and I think part of it was, you know, those guys really bought in to competing every day at practice and really just they dropped the ego at the door and they competed.
Yeah.
And, you know, my first quarterback at Old Dominion was a 5'9" Italian kid from California who San Diego State made him be a punter. They didn't even let him play quarterback. He went to junior college. He ended up starting for us and ended up playing in the CFL for 4 years. And then Taylor Heinicke, well, you know, was in Atlanta, you know, playing, you know, against the top competition in Atlanta, was getting zero FBS offers, comes to Old Dominion, becomes, you know, he's top 10 in every division one record of all time, you know, threw for 700 yards in a game, this, that, and the other. And then David Washington after that, you know, won us our first bowl game at Old Dominion in 2016, you know, played a little wide out at Old Dominion. So all these guys, you know, Blake, my last quarterback before I left, Blake LaRussa, you know, his last year at Old Dominion, he was all conference and an FBS conference as a former walk-on.
Yep.
5'10" Italian kid. You know, beat Virginia Tech.
Yep.
So, you know, just some cool things that we were able to accomplish at quarterback, you know, during that time. It was fun. It was, you know, it still hasn't hit me now, but I think 10 years from now, 20 years from now, I'm going to look back and be like, man, that was so much fun.
Yeah. I mean, to start a program from scratch, I mean, there's not a lot of people.
Yeah. And, you know, kudos to, you know, Coach Wilder, who was the head coach, Brian Scott, who was the offensive coordinator the entire time. Those were both guys that I came down with at Maine. Not only were they like father figures to me, but, you know, it's not easy.
Yeah.
And when you start a program from scratch or when you come in, it's not easy. And for us to, you know, go from independent to the CAA to move up to FBS to win a bowl game to just keep climbing and climb, open a new stadium, you know, go through all these recruiting transitions, it was a lot. And those guys, you know, we sacrificed a lot personally to like have all that success, and it was cool.
Take us through where Coach Wilder's going now. What's he up to now?
You know, right now he's kind of still where I'm at right now, just kind of looking for what the next gig is. You know, a lot of times with these, you know, FBS head coaches, they can kind of take a year off, maybe do some media. You know, he's such a if anybody who's listening to this right now who's met Coach Wilder, he's one, such a good person, and then two, he's such a dynamic speaker.
Yeah,
he's gonna have a ton of options in the future. Awesome. And he's a super smart guy.
And tell us about some of your future goals. I mean, let's actually, before we get to that, right now you're a private QB coach.
Right now I'm just kind of doing a little bit of everything. You know, I'm still looking for, you know, a college or professional job, you know, to be a coach at the college level or the NFL level. I've been, you know, I just went to the combine. I went down to the Senior Bowl. You know, I know one good thing is just being who you are in front of people and meeting new people and being genuine. And, you know, yesterday I was able to, you know, spend a day at Spring Ball at the University of Buffalo. They have a great coaching staff. So just, you know, continuing to do that, but I'm not the type of person who's going to sit on the couch and, you know, say, woe is me. You know, I'm down in Virginia Beach, you know, training quarterbacks 7 days a week. You know, Saturdays and Sundays, I go 6 straight hours. So I love it.
Yeah.
You know, there's some days I'm in the middle of the field with a 10-year-old who, you know, he's not very good at throwing. And I have the same energy and enthusiasm for that kid that I do. You know, right now I'm working with the former starting quarterback at William & Mary for his pro day. So that's super fun because, you know, he's a high-level quarterback who, you know, started at Fresno State.
Absolutely.
William & Mary. You know, you're working with a guy like that, and then you go to working with a 9-year-old, and you're like, all right, get your elbow here. You know, but to me, it's all the same thing. It's the same gratification if you love it, you know?
Yeah, if you're in it for the right reasons, absolutely.
Yeah.
So take us through that. You know, someone signs up to work with you, whether they're 10 or they're 18. What are some of the first things you do when you're working with a quarterback?
I can summarize it this simply. I want them to do simple great, and I want them to understand the why.
Yeah.
So if I'm working with you for the first time, you know, obviously through our first session, I have a series of drills. I am super interested in the science of throwing correctly and how to teach very clearly how to become more accurate using that science.
Sure.
So not just saying, hey, we're going to do this drill, and if you work hard, you're going to get better. Well, that's a lot of what ifs, and it's kind of vague to me.
Sure.
I like to take you through, you know, again, the why, how to use the ground, how to get that energy from the ground, the kinetic sequence, you know, the biomechanics. I'm super into that, and going through that with the first time quarterback, or like the quarterback from William & Mary. He had been playing 4 years of Division I football. He works with me, and after a couple sessions, he's like, oh my gosh, my mind's spinning. I can't believe I haven't gone through this before. Sure. You know, and, you know, I know there's some guys like Joe, you know, Licata in Buffalo, and, you know, Coach Kubiak in Buffalo. There's there's some coaches, you know, in Buffalo that do a lot of great stuff like that. I think the thing that makes me a little unique, and even some coaches at the NCAA don't realize this, I think because I was a Division I coach so young at 22, 23, I just started doing this like on my off days on Sunday with young kids, and it was NCAA legal. Just coaches don't know that.
Sure.
I couldn't work with high school kids, but I could work with younger kids.
Sure.
And I think to be a guy that works with quarterbacks, but you were also a Division I football coach and you were a player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of these QB trainers who I have a lot of respect for, but sometimes I'm like, okay, you never played though.
Yeah.
Or some of these QB trainers, I'm like, all right, you train, and you played, but you were never a college coach. So you don't know, like,
progressions.
Oh, why aren't you recruiting this kid? Or why aren't you doing this? Well, you were never on that side of it. For me to be on all three sides of it, like, yeah, I've been a private trainer. I've played at the Division I level, but I've also coached and I've also recruited and I've also been in those game plan meetings. And I've also been like, hey, this kid's got all the talent in the world when he's got shirt and shorts on. But when you put him behind 5-0 linemen, the game just changed for this kid. So, you know.
Yeah, context.
Yeah. Context is huge. Yeah, context is huge. So, yeah. So that's kind of like how that all kind of just organically grew, you know, as I progressed at Old Dominion. And then I just kind of like owned it and was like, this is what I love to do, you know.
Yeah. And so you're working with a quarterback. Talk about the mental part of the game. How do you coach up a kid, you know, about the mental. You know, I'm sure that comes up all the time, right? I mean, you're talking about the why of how to spin the ball or use the ground. You know, yeah.
Here's another example that your listeners might love.
Yeah.
I asked this to three Division I offensive coordinators and three quarterbacks who started last year in high school down in Virginia Beach who have several offers. And I walked up to them and I go, did you start last year? Like, yeah, coach, I started last year. I'm kind of busting their chops. And I was like, all right, well, what was your completion percentage to the right and to the left last year?
Didn't know.
And he was like, I don't know. I was like, so, well, how do you know how to get better this offseason? What's your breakdown by field zone? You don't know off the top of your head? How do you throw a comeback to the right opposed to the left? Do you know the science on why you're less to the left than to the right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, is that, if you're a head coach right now, you're starting quarterback last year, do you know their completion percentage to the right, to the left last year?
Right.
Off the top of your head? If you don't know, so what's your process right now working with your quarterback to improve in the offseason?
Sure.
Just get better?
Yeah, you need some data.
Don't get me wrong. I need my quarterback to be a leader. I need him to have all those things we want him to possess as a starting quarterback.
Sure.
But I also want to have some science and some data behind it.
Absolutely.
And for me, again, going back to my philosophy coaching quarterbacks, if I'm going to coach you, there's going to be, I always say, when I coach you, it's 50-50 math and science. We're going to watch a clip of your game. Okay, was it cover two? Was it cover one? Was it zone? Was it man? Four down, three down, blitz, not blitz, yada, 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 right? Let's watch that same clip again. What was your drop tempo? What was the trajectory of the ball? Sure. Did the receiver touch it? Let's talk big picture. Let's talk very, very detailed.
Sure.
Let's talk about all the science, your arm angle. Was it an inch above 90? Did you turn your shoulders? That's the specifics that I like to get into with a quarterback. And then when I start talking like that, they're like, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah. That's
like,
great.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm into it. You know what I mean? I think they can tell I'm genuinely like, I could do this all day.
I mean, you're talking about getting into the deeper dive of quarterback analytics, but you're also applying that to helping quarterbacks learn rather than just evaluating players to scout them. You're actually using that deeper dive data to teach them. It's a big, big distinction.
And, you know, and anybody who's listening to this, kudos to him. I worked with Coach Z, the quarterback's coach, yesterday, you know,
at Buffalo. Yeah.
He's just like me.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm a quarterback, I'd want to play for a guy like him because he lives it, breathes it. Yesterday in the QB meeting, you know, we're watching Drew Brees. We're talking about how, you know, look at his first step and his three-step drop, trying to take a swing pass to the right. I mean, Coach Z, he's a lot like me where he's not just going to, you know, hand you an install sheet and be like, here are the first 10 plays today. You know the progressions. Let's go out to practice.
Yeah.
No, he's going to be like, oh, let's talk about drops. Let's talk about this. Coach Z took one of the drills that I was doing that I had just like created a week before. I'm showing him in pre-practice and we're doing it in practice. And it was like, you know, it's just cool things like that when you meet someone who's just like, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, no, he's a cool cat.
He's a great guy. Yes. That whole staff, you know, blue collar guys, you know, obviously came up, you know, and, you know, to coach it at Buffalo.
From Wisconsin.
The fact that, you know, 10-4, 8-5 last couple years. You know, I know they're working their rear end right off right now to recruit Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse. Mm-hmm. You know, they were talking about it yesterday. So it's cool. It's cool.
It is cool. That's a great group of guys.
It is.
You know, I mean, you know, going back to coaching the quarterback spot, you know, get into some of the specifics. You're watching somebody's tape and you see their footwork, you see their eyes. You know, what are some of the things you're looking for from, you know, as far as eye discipline, you know, their footwork on whether it's RPO or a quick game? What are some really specific feedback, you know, things you can give a high school kid who's listening? Okay, hey, when I see you just get in your stance to address and, you know, catch the snap, what's the body language? What are you looking for right out of the gate?
You've been around, you've spoken to a lot of great coaches, and you've been around a lot of great football minds that I can tell already that you have heard this before, but I had a unique opportunity that I was able to spend 2 whole days one-on-one with Dave Cutcliffe at Duke.
That's awesome.
Just him and I.
That's awesome.
In an office like this. And anybody that's been to Coach Cutcliffe's camp, and he'd probably laugh if he heard this, but the first thing he's going to coach on you is your demeanor before the snap.
Absolutely.
Like, I kind of call it like Chris Paul with the ball. You know, is your butt back? Are your eyes up? Is your chest up? Do you look like you're about? I say to my 11-year-old quarterback in the middle of a field, and they're about to go through a drill, and they're standing there looking like an uncooked hot dog, and I'm like, look like you're going to do something. You know what I mean?
You got to own it. You got to own it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Before you do anything, I don't care if you're playing basketball, football, you know, you should be in that triple threat position. Like, you're about to do something. Yeah. And let's start there.
Yeah, exactly.
Now as you progress to talk about more of the specifics of quarterbacking, okay, here's something that we talked a lot about. In 2018, we were one of the most explosive passing offenses in Division I FBS with a former walk-on quarterback. We had 3 wideouts that ended up going on to play in the NFL. And we talked about this simple. When you throw the ball past 17 yards as a quarterback, did someone touch it?
Yeah. Is it a catchable ball?
Touch it. Did they touch it? So if you're a quarterback right now, or if you're a high school coach or OC or quarterback's coach, go through your kid's huddle right now, break it all down, and just say something this simple. 17 plus, did someone touch it?
Yeah.
If they didn't,
why?
Let's back up from there.
Yeah.
Is it drop tempo? Is it, now let's take the deeper dive. So I like to be very, again, do simple great.
Yeah.
Let's make sure our receiver touches every ball. A lot of times that's drop tempo. You know, your high school drop tempo is nowhere near the speed it needs to be at the Division I level.
Agreed.
Or even at the high levels.
Agreed.
Of high school. Are you matching your drops to the routes that you're running?
Sure.
I worked with probably 40 different quarterbacks last week alone. And this is unique. I asked all 40 to draw up the route tree with the number, you know, with the number system that you would seem basic to you.
Yeah.
And I.
Couldn't do it.
A lot couldn't do it. And maybe you can go back and, you know, ask your younger quarterbacks, be like, or all your wideouts, draw up the route tree right now. Put all the numbers by it. See if all of them go 100 for 100. So something is, we think they know. And then it's like, okay, here's, now you know the route tree. I taught you the route tree, okay? Let's talk about your drops per route.
Sure.
Are these quick game routes?
Yep.
Are these intermediate routes?
Yeah.
Are these down the field routes? Let's add some visualization to what we're throwing right now. And see, again, going back to knowing the why and owning it as a quarterback. Now when these quarterbacks, when you're talking to them like this and you're like, this is the route tree. These are the drops for the route tree. Now they're starting to own it. Now I think you can start to see them coaching themselves. And to me, that's the point I'm always trying to make the quarterback. Be your own quarterback coach. Take me out of it. Take your daddy out of it. Take your private trainer out of it. You are your own quarterback coach.
Right.
Do you think Drew Brees has his own pregame routine. He has his own arm maintenance routine. Tom Brady's got his own, you know, sequence. Now you might not have that as a sophomore in high school, but you can start to develop it.
Yeah.
So those are some things that I look for in a quarterback. And of course you're looking for, you know, natural arm talent, things of that nature that you need to compete when you're trying to play at that next level.
So speaking of that, I mean, you came out of East Rochester and you didn't have a private quarterback's coach, correct?
Nope.
So you know, think about if you did.
And you know, that's, you know, I think that maybe I'm not, you know, like this crazy QB coach now, if I did grow up in Atlanta and I was just with a private QB coach and I went to Georgia and I don't think I'd have this like perspective on it.
It's a great point.
My unique perspective on coaching, I think, was born out of going to Maine.
Yeah.
And just everything that happened after, you know, going to Old Dominion, you know, at Old Dominion, I got there. There were no players.
Yep.
So for almost 2 years, I recreated my own throwing motion. I kind of did like some guys do. I was kind of like, you know what? If I was going to coach quarterbacks from scratch, how would I do it? And I was fortunate. You know, I got to visit West Virginia and Wake Forest, Virginia Tech and Virginia. A lot of these coaches are now in the NFL. And I got to, you know, spend 2 straight days with Dave Cutcliffe. And every time you visit with one of these guys, you're like, you know, I was with Coach Z yesterday at Buffalo and just terms and, you know, I've been saying the same thing the last 5 years, but Coach Z said it like this. And I think that's a better teaching tool.
Sure.
You need to just keep adding that to your tool belt. But I think because of my unique path at Old Dominion and working for Coach Wilder and some of the things I was able to do, you know, some of the drills that I did at Old Dominion, I really think made us a better team in the long run. I ended up kind of like test running on a 9-year-old on a Sunday at like 10 a.m.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, this drill works. I'm going to use this on my ODU guys. Yeah, that works. All right, I'm going to do this on pre-draft prep on another kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was always feeding itself.
It's still happening. It almost seems like you've created your own niche and your own sort of artistry in the quarterback coaching world and because of your experience, right? Because of where you came from, where you played, how you had to compete for that job, and then because you started coaching at 22, and because the most important thing for our listeners and viewers to really pay attention to, and he brought this up earlier, is that you leave your ego at the door.
No doubt.
And because that means you're open-minded to continue to learn.
Never stop looking for information. Yeah. I said to my quarterbacks all the time at Old Dominion, you got a drill that you did with your private trainer. You know, you transferred from another school and your QB coach did a good job. And what was something that you did in pregame prep? What was like a pre-practice drill you did? What was some arm maintenance stuff that you did? Give me, if it's good, let's add it.
Yeah.
And if I'm doing something, you know, I was joking with Coach Z yesterday, you know, with this time off right now, I'm still trying to, you know, professionally develop and look at some things that maybe I can do better. And I've been studying a lot of baseball coaches, pitching coaches, because they know the throwing motion science really better than us quarterback coaches. And, you know, every once in a while, these like, you know, quarterback coaches or baseball coaches will start kind of coming at me on Twitter or whatever, like on some of the mechanic stuff. And I'll kind of look it up and I'll be like, you know what? I kind of think they're right. Like, I might be screwed up on this. But I think to be like that and to be open and, you know, to say to your quarterback sometimes, you'll be like, you know what? I'm screwed up on this. Like, I don't know what the heck. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
To be able to say to someone, yeah, like, I don't know.
Right.
I think make, you know, validates what you're doing even more.
That's what makes you a great coach, though. Think about, okay, you know, Kurt Warner, Jay Fiedler, you know, Eli Manning compared to Daniel Jones, right? If their quick game footwork is a little different, and there's a debate about how the quick game gets started, right? There's the punch step, or there's the sort of like hop and quick step. Everyone has different philosophies. Does it make anything better or worse? No. But and that's the whole thing. What you're bringing up is that to be able to play the quarterback position, it's going to evolve and change. It's dynamic based on the kid.
There's different body types.
Yeah.
There's different offenses. You can skin a cat, you know, many different ways. You can run different offense. You can have, you know, 10 different offensive coordinators that run 10 different offenses.
Sure.
They're all good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think if you go back to doing simple, great.
Yep.
And, you know, being an awesome teacher and, you know, letting kids know that you care at any level.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have success. You got to hold them accountable. You got to have great discipline, you know. Got to, you know, get them to compete, and you're going to have success. Yeah.
You're watching the NFL Combine, I'm sure.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was there Thursday.
Sorry, I missed you at the Senior Bowl. I was at the Senior Bowl.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
Next year, I'll see you there, maybe.
Yeah.
So, you know, the quarterbacks haven't gone yet, right?
They have.
Oh, they have gone.
Yeah.
Who do you like?
You know, and I saw him play, the quarterback at FIU, Morgan. I think his last name is Morgan.
Yeah.
You know, he's a big kid that I think he had a good all-star game practice and things of that nature. I was actually up like in the stadium, so I couldn't hear the NFL Network, you know, commentary on what they were saying about the quarterbacks as it was going on because I was watching it live.
But, yeah.
You know, when we played against him at Old Dominion, big kid, intelligent, could make all the throws, leader.
Sure.
You know, I sometimes look at those mid-major quarterbacks. And I say to myself, you know, playing mid-major quarterback or FCS quarterback, it's kind of like playing in the NFL where everything's even.
Interesting.
Like if I play quarterback at Oklahoma, and don't get me wrong, all those quarterbacks at Oklahoma are great. I'm not saying, but If I play quarterback at Oklahoma, I inherently have an advantage.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb.
Okay. Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield lost, what, like 3 games over 3 years at Oklahoma? But then the last year, what was their record in the NFL?
Yeah, not the same.
So what happened? Did all of a sudden they become bad quarterbacks? No, they're playing equal talent.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes when you have these mid-major quarterbacks, like I had at Old Dominion, or, you know, Russell Wilson, who, you know, NC State type of guy, you know, Big Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah,
you know,
NC State.
You kind of see a guy compete on a weekly basis against equal
Man,
talent.
That is a great observation, coach.
It's something that I kind of look for, and I'm like, you know, it's just
That's
just
fascinating. That's absolutely fascinating. Yeah. Because you think about some of the quarterbacks who've come out that have done really well, that have played that way. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, I mean, he didn't play in the SEC.
Well, I think the one thing that we can all agree upon is that when you're talking about quarterback evaluations, no one knows.
Yeah, you're right.
Because look at the current quarterbacks in the NFL.
Sure.
The best one of all time, whatever. Seventh round draft pick that didn't even sign on signing day. If you read Tom Brady's book, he didn't sign on signing day at Michigan. He showed up in the spring.
Really?
Remember, he didn't start at Michigan until he was a fourth-year junior.
Yeah.
Right? And then he gets picked whatever, you know, pick whatever. So
Sixth round.
So, you know, and then you got Russell Wilson.
Yep.
You know,
Wisconsin.
Who NC State essentially tells to leave. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he has to go to, you know, Wisconsin. Aaron Rodgers has to go to junior college.
Oh, my God. Yeah, great thought.
So I think the one thing we can agree upon is that none of us know.
Yeah.
None of us know.
At the Senior Bowl, we were discussing, Justin Herbert from Oregon.
Oh, man, he looked pretty.
Yeah. And Jordan Love, we were just sort of debating the two of them. It's two completely different quarterbacks at the college level. One's sort of a, you know, Utah State guy with great arm talent, not surrounded by a whole lot of, you know, necessarily NFL talent, but he played well against LSU, so it turned some heads.
Yeah.
And he gets an invite to the Senior Bowl. I thought he did okay.
Like, what offensive coordinator you get paired with? What quarterback?
Yeah,
you get
so many variables.
With? What was your O-line? You know, did you get put in, you know, somebody Google... Ben Roethlisberger, how many passes he completed in his first Super Bowl victory. I think he completed nine passes or something like that.
I think you're right. Yep.
Right? But nobody says that 15 years later.
Yeah.
They just say, you know, Big Ben, you know, however many Super Bowls he won, you know, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah. And last year he threw for 500 yards a game. Or
but when he started, he got put into a good situation. He was allowed to grow. Tom Brady was the same way. When he won his first couple Super Bowls, they were running the ball, playing great defense.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't asking him to do a lot. You know, sometimes these quarterbacks get put in a terrible situation.
Yeah.
You know, Jared Goff his first year. And then all of a sudden, look at Jared Goff his second year. It's like Jared Goff all of a sudden learn how to play football. Two completely different quarterbacks.
Yeah.
It's the same guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just like, there's so much that goes into playing the quarterback position. I think that's what makes it so fun. It's just like, it's almost an endless body of knowledge that you can go into it.
Yeah.
To me, it's very similar to offensive line.
Yeah.
Talk about offensive line play and just... It's like you and I could be in this office, you know, for eternity.
Just scheme alone.
Oh yeah. Mentality, weight room, science, all that stuff. To me, they're very similar in that sense. Yeah.
So you're evaluating quarterbacks. You've seen NFL quarterbacks, college quarterbacks. You're looking at high school quarterbacks. You're watching tape and you're evaluating whether it's New York, anywhere. What are you looking for? That's going to, you know, one on tape, what are you looking for? You know, just right from the get go, first couple plays.
You know, you're obviously looking for that pop and that wow factor. Does he have a couple plays and the beginning parts of that highlight tape that, you know, you see a couple plays and you're just like, wow, that was impressive. Now, I always went through and watched 4 full games. So if you went through my process, if you got kind of deemed, if you got to my desk through our recruiting department, now I was watching 4 games. We had all your completion percentage, win-loss record from your last 2 years.
Yep.
We researched who you were working with as a quarterback coach. We went through all your social media. We had your transcript evaluated. So there was a total eval on you as, you know. Okay,
that's in depth.
It's not just a highlight tape. Wow, this kid's got a great highlight tape. Well, you watch a great highlight tape and you're like, oh, this kid's got this offer, this offer, this offer, this offer. And then I'm looking at the sheet that my recruiting department gave me and I'm like, why was he 2-8 last year then?
Yeah.
And then everybody would stop talking in the room and I'd be like, why don't you come back to me with some information on why this kid was 2-8? Well, I don't care that he's got X, Y, and Z Power 5 offer. He's 2-8.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if I rolled through the state and asked, the other thing I did when I was on the road recruiting is, if I was recruiting you as a quarterback, I was going to go to every other school in your conference. And I was going to be like, oh, how was your season last year? And then I would just be like, you know, if I was recruiting a kid at East Rochester, I'd be like, you know, a team that played East Rochester this past year, I'd ask that head coach. And I'd be like, oh, how was the East Rochester game? If he didn't mention that quarterback.
Yeah, not a good sign.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you were playing me out of high school and you didn't say Ronnie Wickham, then what are we talking about right now? That's, you know, when I recruited Taylor Heineke out of Atlanta, Georgia, every school that played against him, I'd walk into school and they'd be like, coach, you got to go to Collins Hill. There is a little quarterback over there that no one's recruiting.
I loved watching him play.
And you got to sign him because he tore, those coaches that coached against him were just like standing on the table for him. That's what you really want to see.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to go back again. And I hope he hears this because this is going to be a life apology. But Ernest Edwards, what he did in basketball, what he did in the kick return game, interceptions,
oh my God, return.
Wide receivers. It was just everywhere I went, they were like, coach, they're like, are you recruiting Ernest Edwards? I was like, I'm trying, believe me.
Yeah.
But that almost validates for me, like, I knew with that kid, just based on the big picture, like, this kid was just a ball play. You put him on the field, you're not going to be able to hide him.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know what I mean? Some of these combine kids sometimes with recruiting.
Certain
shorts. He gets this offer, so then offer, and you don't even really know where it came from. And
yeah.
Maybe he looks good in shirts and shorts. And again, I'm happy for that kid.
Sure.
Good. I'm happy. I'm not trying to hate on that kid. But in the same vein, you got to do your research. So you're looking for the wow and the highlight film.
Yeah.
But then you're also looking for the other, you know, other things, you know.
Coach, we've had two situations that you brought up that are really important. One, you know, in New York State, we've had some kids that have been tweeted out as having like an offer from a major school.
Yep.
We've contacted that school. They don't have an offer.
Yep.
That's been happening just really this year. We've discovered it's really sad, to be honest, because if I'm a coach at ODU and I see a kid gets tweeted out as an offer and they use the graphic and I'm just, you know, it comes from a coach or a kid, I don't know. And then I'm thinking, wow, the kid's got an offer. I'm going to take a look. Hopefully that's not happening, but talk about social media. You said you check out the social media. What are you looking for?
You can understand. Let's go beyond the do's and don'ts of social media. I think a lot of our young listeners and high school coaches right now understand the do's and don'ts of social media.
Yeah.
I think all these kids right now have had someone like myself stand in front of them and be like, hey guys, we're checking your social media. You can't put stupid stuff on there. Let's go beyond that.
Sure.
I can learn a lot about what you prioritize through your social media.
Yeah.
So it kind of comes back to me, like when I was playing at Maine, I had football, or for the parents, I had school and football, right? School and football. And, you know, if I look at a kid's Twitter and I don't see a ton of stuff about his team or stuff about football, or just, you can just learn a lot about a person, and it can create, that's not everything, but it's a piece.
Yeah.
It's just like I'm seeing on Twitter right now, these NFL teams, they're calling the high school coach.
Yep.
And they're saying, hey, coach, can you fill out this questionnaire on this kid? Because we want to know about this kid all the way back to when he was in 16 and 17. What's his DNA?
Yeah.
You know, when I was at East Rochester High School, I would shovel the basketball court to shoot outside because we didn't have a gym inside that I could get into.
Yeah.
That was my DNA.
Yeah.
You know, I would wake up at 5 in the morning and pick up my offensive lineman and my Toyota Tercel and drive them to the weight room so we could lift before school. That was my DNA.
Toyota Tercel, right? Baby. You're kicking it right back.
So, I mean... That's who I was. I was, you know, so if someone asked, like, you know, Coach T or Coach Greco, like, well, what is he like as a kid? Well, he's kind of out of his mind. Like, he's possessed right now.
It's the kind of coach you want on your team, though. It's the kind of college coach you want, future NFL coach.
That's who you want as a player. That's who you want. And then if you go and be like, hey, this kid, you know, kind of likes football. He doesn't really come to all the workouts. We kind of got to chase him around.
Yeah.
He's, you know, he's kind of into girls, this, that, and the other. It's like, all right, well, that's his priority. I'm not saying he's a bad kid.
Yeah.
It all goes back to priorities.
Sure.
And if you want to compete at the highest level of Division I NFL,
it
comes down to priorities.
Absolutely.
We all have options. It's just, what are you prioritizing?
Yeah. You know, I was at UConn recently watching their practices and in their meetings. I've been to UB, you know, a couple of years ago, Syracuse before that. I've been to a bunch of, not Syracuse recently, but a few years back. But
yeah,
it's amazing. Even at that level, as elite as those players are, I'm still watching the motor. who's got the motor and who really is the most competitive human. Because that's me. That's my DNA. Is I'm one of the most competitive human beings.
And anybody that's ever played Division I football knows that there are kids at Virginia Tech that can't play at Old Dominion. There's kids at Old Dominion that couldn't play at the U of R.
Really?
And there's kids at the U of R that could play at Virginia Tech. Just because of that motor sometimes.
Sure.
And there's going to be misses in recruiting.
Yeah.
You know, we had a ton of walk-ons go on to start for us, become all conference players, and go on to the NFL.
Yeah.
Walk-ons, right? They had no scholarship offer, right? I almost had no scholarship offer, right? But I ended up, you know, so there's going to be that, you know, you're not going to always know the finished product of a kid that's 17 years old. So then, okay, that kid goes to college. How does he adjust to college life? What type of coaching is he getting? How does he develop physically?
Yeah.
What's his mindset? You know?
Yeah.
Football, there's a lot that goes into the mental aspect of the game. Is he intelligent enough to grasp the information of what we're trying to do schematically? I mean,
there's
just so many little things that go into it. But I think at the end of the day, if a kid's got that passion and that motor and he gets to practice and he is just
juiced.
He's loving it.
Yeah.
Like Coach Malinich at Pittsburgh, his two sons are at UB.
Yep.
And I'm at practice yesterday. His two sons got it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They got that juice, you know, and I kind of had like a smile yesterday watching them in practice. Cause I'm like, you know, you could see that, you know, they're their daddy's kids. You know what I mean? They're just, you know, a little crazy. It's great.
But he's another guy that, you know, when he helped one of our Fairport kids get recruited, he's the same guy who would be like, hey man, check this guy out.
Coach Malinich, Kayla Gauze at UPrep, yep. Greg Hopkins, Bruce Johnson, all these guys in the area that are working with the kids, and there's many more. Coach Mandel at Victor, where my dad was the athletic director.
Yeah.
There's so many guys in this area that work their rear ends off and go above and beyond to help all kids.
Yeah,
I can't tell you how many times Coach Malinich at Pittsburgh's been like, hey, here are my kids at Pittsburgh, but
check these kids out.
You got to go here.
Yeah.
You got to go here. You got to check this kid out at East.
Yep.
You got to go over here.
Yeah.
I believe in this kid. We played against him. He's been promoting this area forever.
Yeah.
As have you been, as of other, you know, Kayla Gauze, you know, Greg Hopkins, you know, with the 7-on-7 teams, they're trying to get kids out there as much as they can.
The Eddie Meese game sort of spurred that for me when I was like 12 years old. And when I was a ball boy, I remember years ago, my father's a head coach and he's like, hey, come be the ball boy for the Eddie Meese game. And I remember, you know, you play in your hometown, but I haven't even played a down of varsity football yet, but I show up and there's a player from Fairport, from Pittsburgh, from East High, from everywhere,
mm-hmm.
East Side and West Side. And I remember, you know, sitting in that locker room, getting to know those guys, and I became their biggest fans. I'm still fans of these guys to this day. Like they took me under their wing and they're like, hey man, you got to keep the game alive, keep playing football, stick with it. And that changed me forever because it wasn't just about my little hometown and in this little tunnel vision area. It was like, well, there's a bigger world out there with players that love the game, that play the game the way you love playing it, even though I was young at the time. But that changed how I have helped kids from other schools. And I've been either a head coach for Eddie Meese or an assistant coach, but it all comes back to that. It's high school football. We're trying to help each other. We're trying to help our state, you know, and help each other get to that next level.
Develop the kids, try to win a couple games, and then get them on to the next level.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I was thinking about talking to you today. You know, that's really what it's about, you know, at the high school level. And then I think as a high school coach, if you can do something to help a kid in your school or at another school, I mean, why wouldn't you try to do that?
Absolutely.
You know, especially if you believe in the kid.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you believe in the kid. Now, if you have a relationship with me as a high school coach, you know, obviously you're going to gain some credibility with me, which, you know, every once in a while where, you know, I might be looking at a kid and you might be like, you know, you might grab me by the shoulder and you'd be like, hey, you know, you need to know about this kid.
Yeah.
And that's the other side of it.
That's hard.
That's hard for a high school coach to do because it's my job to figure that out as the college recruiter. It's not your job as a high school coach.
Yeah.
But if you do give that to me as a high school coach, now your credibility, the next time you say, hey, I got this kid.
Yep.
Now I'm going to be like, hey, I'm going to go to my head guy. Yeah. Or if I am the head guy, I'm going to be like, hey, this high school coach has always shot us straight about kids.
Exactly. And that's why, and prospects got to hear that. Student athletes have to understand that when a college coach asks me about, you know, 5 Fairport athletes right now, I have to be 100% honest about all 5 athletes. And I can't inflate them.
Or the
them,
college recruiters,
you know,
are going to stop coming.
Exactly. You get one shot for your reputation. When college is recruiting your school, you got to be right.
And you're going to say, and I know these high school athletes have heard this 1,000 times, but I'm going to beat a dead horse. I was at Old Dominion for 13 years, and I can't tell you how many times the conversation went like this. I was like, Coach, player X, Y, and Z. And he's like, Coach, no grades.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It's just the conversation ends just like that.
Yep.
Coach, no grades. I'm like, all right, get to my little list. No grades.
Yeah.
Boom. Move on.
Yeah. Which, I mean, think about it. So there's, and I get it, but to try, I don't want kids to fall in love with being recruited. We want them to fall in love with competing to win whatever it is they're doing. Win the classroom, win the decision that you made in the first 5 minutes of your freshman year in the middle of nowhere in Maine. Right. Win the competition in practice. Win the, that's what I want kids to focus on, not being recruited.
Because, say this out loud, it's 2020, right? We have the internet. If you're a great student and you're a great football player, your head coach couldn't hide you if he tried.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
We'd find you.
Yes.
These college recruiting personnel departments, they couldn't hide you if they tried.
Yep.
So the thought process that you're getting hidden or your head coach isn't doing enough to promote you,
right?
That's a fallacy.
Yeah.
They couldn't hide you if they tried.
Exactly.
I'm going to find you if you're that good.
Right.
If I'm a solid recruiter.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're right. If you invest all of your time into, you know, being great in the weight room, being great in the classroom, being great at practice,
yep,
it's going to show up on tape. And at the end of the day, in football, this isn't AAU. It's your tape and your academics.
Yeah.
It's not a whole, you know, maybe you can go to a camp and perform well at a camp, but at the end of the day, you're going to get that offer at camp based on the discussion that was made about you off of your tape prior to you coming to camp.
Yeah.
There was never a kid that we offered at camp that just popped a 4 or 540 and we were like, you have an offer. No, it was, hey, Ron Wickham's coming to camp. He's from East Rochester High School. He's got a 3.5 GPA. He's got really good film. We just want to make sure that he's 6'2", and if he has a good day at camp today, we're going to offer him.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
Yeah. You just brought up a really important point, though. We've talked about this in three different shows. Kids on Twitter will put up that they're, you know, 6'4", 220. They show up, they're 6'1", 200.
Yep.
That's a big knock. Or, hey, I've got a 3.0 GPA, and it's really a 2.4. That's another big knock. It's got to be honest.
Yep. You got to be specific. You got to understand the rules. You got to understand how to break down a college, you know, transcript.
Yep.
You know, you got to understand how your core GPA, you know, coincides with your ACT and your SAT. You need to take that ACT and SAT as many times as you possibly can.
Absolutely.
If I'm a student athlete that has aspirations of playing Division I football right now, I'm in SAT, ACT prep right now.
Yep.
I'm making that a priority.
Sure.
Because there are only so many doors.
Yep.
Open as many as you can.
Yeah.
And by having great grades, you're just going to open more doors.
Yep.
You know, if I wasn't going to the University of Maine, I was going to Fordham to play for Coach Clausen, who's now the head coach at Wake Forest. That was going to be an awesome opportunity for me to play at Fordham, which is an Ivy League type school, Division I FCS.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to play for Coach Clausen, who was on the fast track of being a head coach. And, you know, that was going to be great. But that door, I only went on that official visit, and I was only getting recruited by Fordham because of my academics.
Yeah.
And if I didn't have those academics, I wasn't going to be, you know, have offers from Colgate and Fordham.
Yeah.
You know, those schools can only recruit a certain type of, you know, student athlete. Yeah.
I think people think that, you know, getting recruited, whether it's for Division III, II, or I, is some sort of like safe place. Like I made it. There is no, I made it. It's like literally you and I right now woke up this morning and said, how can we win today?
Yeah.
Doing something,
no.
You know, and that it's no different than when you get recruited. It's just a door that opened for you to walk through and compete, you know? And so, you know, to close up, you know, what are some of your last messages going out to anybody that's listening? What can they do to set themselves apart?
You know, obviously I think we touched upon a lot of
things. Yeah, we did.
You know, we really went through a lot, and I know that a lot of student athletes in this area and a lot of coaches in this area are doing these things.
Yeah.
So that's the good news.
Yeah.
I think that nowadays with all this information and a lot of these coaches that I talked about that are helping these kids, a lot of these kids are doing these things.
Yeah.
I'm amazed right now at how well-spoken kids are and how, you know, they do have their stuff together. So I almost want to end it like kudos to all these coaches and all these kids who are doing these things.
Great call.
Because a lot of times it's always like negative, negative, negative. You're not doing this. You're not doing this. Blah, 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 blah. You know what? You guys are doing pretty good. You know, you get the Rochester area is doing a great job right now promoting promoting the prospects as much as they have
yep.
on a long time. I do want to say I'm going to be back March 21st at East Rochester High School. I'm going to be doing a little QB clinic there. It's going to be free awesome. For wide receivers. Andre Fontenette, who played at Syracuse, coaches yep. wide receivers at McQuaid,
mm-hmm.
is going to be doing the wide receivers. Jeremy Kelly, who works for the Buffalo Bills, is going to be there. I'm going to be awesome. Working with the quarterbacks. So,
that's going to be cool.
You know, we already got kids from Victor, McQuaid, kids from Buffalo registered. So, I'm excited about that. They can go on and register on my website, rwqb.com, if they want to come and just get some QB training that morning. But yeah, I want to end it on a positive note. You guys are doing a great job. You know, I've been down in Virginia Beach the last 13 years. I haven't been home since I was 17, but obviously I've always been back here recruiting, and to see what you're doing, Mark, you know, trying to help these guys and, you know, the Kayla Gauzes and the high school coaches. It's awesome.
I appreciate it, man.
It's awesome, and it's good to see Section 5, you know, teams like Buffalo doing well right now.
Yeah,
It's great. It's great.
I think we have a great state, and I think, you know, there's a lot of great, you know, things that come out of it. Having you on this, having you here has been awesome, man. Thanks so much for joining us.
People are really going to enjoy. This is cool. This is cool, and I hope I can see some people March 21st and, you know, see some more coaches. I know some people are going to come out and film some stuff, so it'll be cool.
So March 21st, guys, March 21st, come out and check out Coach.
Cool. Yeah.
All right, Coach. All right, thanks Coach, so much. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You got it.
All right.